Welcome to Toilets and Titles, the Unowned Dynasty Edition. As always here, Ben Doovan, Life of the Bin, and with my partner, at FF Doormat, Matt Hatton. How are you today, Matt? I can't pee, mate.
How's that?
That's a bit better.
Off to a good start, mate. You know, just trying to make a few laughs at my expense, as usual. No, I'm doing wonderfully well. Yeah, had a pretty good weekend, pretty busy. Been pumped all day at work today, as usual, but... Yeah, Monday night. Happy to talk a bit of dynasty football. How about yourself, man? How's things?
Well, I'm here on lockdown in Victoria, Melbourne, Australia. Probably our fourth or fifth one yet. It's meant to be a snap 7-day lockdown, but doesn't look like it's going to end on the Thursday as originally intended, just based on the cases that we're seeing, etc. So it's what it is. Anyway. But yeah, come on here, talk some dynasty fantasy football with you. And one of the things that you mentioned before you came on here was a bit of commissioner talk and maybe some nefarious behaviour that you saw from a commissioner in a league you were in. So, Matt, take us through it, mate.
Allegedly. I guess just might be worthwhile talking about your approach for the leagues you commission, or co-commission. I think we're in a couple that we do. Just sort of what you think the commission needs to do and that sort of stuff. But basically this one it's a two division IDP league, 24 teams. The teams can't trade between them. Pretty good league. It's pretty good scoring. You know, it's pretty level. IDPs, you know, contributes a fair bit, and I think you've got to start 13 IDP instead of 12 offensive players. So it's good balance league, and I think it's the third year going in. You've got to start two tight ends premium. So in this league, the commissioner absolutely fleeced. I'm just talking about fleeced an owner, and the owner was a new owner, and the commissioner just admitted, look, yeah, I did fleece him. You know, he's new, and I took advantage, and you know, you guys would have done the same, you know, and was happy to own it. So, look, to me, I thought that's probably not something that I would do as a commission. Maybe that's a little bit naive, or for fleecing people. But, you know, if people are new and they come out and they tell you they're new, I think that's a bit of a long bow if you're sort of taking advantage of them. It's one thing to send a bad trading and get accepted, but another to try and, you know, just take advantage of a new owner. I think that's a little bit different.
So step us through this a little bit more in detail and tell us what happened in this scenario.
So basically the commish traded, it's a pretty big trade. He traded Kyle, it's a Superflex league, he traded Kyle Allen, Andy Dalton, Jimmy Garoppolo, Baker Mayfield, Ryan Tannehill, Chubb, Coleman, Drake, Boyd, Hayden Hurst, Schultz, and a couple of small defensive pieces. And in return, he got Dak, he got Sutton, he got Josh Allen, the defensive tackle, defensive end, not tackle, sorry, defensive end. He got the 101, the 108, you know, a 2, a 5, and a 301. So, you know, pretty one-sided trade, I thought. But to add to it, the new owner was not in the league group chat, which sort of that raised a bit of an issue, where you know, no one else could offer trades to this gentleman. You know, he might have joined the league, but you know, wasn't announced anywhere. I certainly didn't know his league was filled. This sort of blew up that trade happened, and you know, no one else really could negotiate with this owner because the commissioner knew him from his workplace and sort of work with him. You know, and look, the commissioner is a pretty stand up sort of guy. This is the only league I play him with, but I think he's sort of commissions a few leagues around, a few IDP leagues around. But to make it worse, he also had to use his commission powers to force the trade. Said the new owner didn't really know how to do ad drops, was walking him through how to do ad drops, and he couldn't do the trade. So he was sort of alluding to that, you know, he'd given this new orphan owner access to a link, and he's probably used that link to accidentally accept the trade. Look, it went on for about 2 or 3 days. People were complaining, you know, all upset about it. And more so, I think the worst thing was just that he wasn't part of the league chat. You know, no one else could negotiate with him. So the commission did the right thing in the end and sort of reversed the trade. But a couple of owners, well, one owner did leave, one owner that we know pretty well, pretty sort of level-headed guy. He paid his fees already, but he said, look, you know, I'm out. I don't want to sort of put up with it. You know, look, if I hadn't paid, I would have left too, but I'm a bit of a tight ass, so I'm staying. I've got a pretty stacked side, and it's on the other side of the division, so it won't affect me until the finals. You know, it's we have our sort of own individual week 16, and then week 17 you play the other division winner. So yeah, look, I certainly would have done it. I know I brought someone into that league just from Twitter, and he said, look, I haven't had much experience in Dynasty. I said, look, it's a two tight end league. Don't sell your Mark Andrews cheaply, you know. So yeah, like I said, maybe that's a little bit naive, but just for new owners, I think, especially if you're the commission, you probably have a bit of a duty, not a duty of care, but, you know, you want to make the league a happy place, and you know, we're not talking about, you know, a massive amount of cash here. It's just, you know, just it's really, we're just playing for the fun. So, yeah, you know, that was my take on it.
And like you said, you mentioned that when the trade went through, you could see the little C next to the name and next to the trade. And for people who use MFL, what that means is the commissioner has actually done both sides of the trade. So he's used his commish powers to put through that trade, select the team as commish, select the team to trade with as commish, selected all the players involved in the trade, and then gone through and pushed through the trade, which really isn't something you should be doing unless you're reversing like a mistake or something like that. Any trade really you shouldn't be in under commission power. You shouldn't have that authority when putting through trades. You can see like other trades that are out there and what's being offered and all kinds of stuff depending on, you know, if you've got those commish powers on. And something that I, you know, look, I'll fully admit that as a commissioner of a league, I probably hold myself to a bit more of a higher standard when I'm just playing in a league and I'm not the commissioner. And as commissioner of a league, you certainly don't want to do anything to cast dispersion on the league or cause, you know, any kind of crazy controversy. So it's pretty disappointing to hear that a commissioner would do that. Having said that, I think anything is a go if you're not the commissioner. Submit any trades you like, because when it comes to those new people who join leagues who aren't experienced, what I've found is if it's not you, it's going to be somebody else.
Speaking of,
what are you saying, Mr. Hatton? What are you saying?
Yeah, let's talk about your lovely trade in the Dynasty Underdog one with old mate Riley. Good bloke, fairly active in the league.
Riley seems like a good bloke, very active in the league. Yep. So me and Matt Hatton joined the Dynasty Underdog Listener League. So that's a podcast that's done by Uriah, Willie Beeman and Josh Goldberg. They're three guys from my Consoles League, and they started a podcast, Dynasty Underdog. It's very good. I recommend you give it a listen. And so they started their Listen League, and some people are relatively new, some people are not. But we did the startup draft, very happy with my startup draft. And a couple of weeks later, one of the guys in the league has approached me. He wants Joe Burrow. And I took Joe Burrow with a top, I think it was a top 15 pick. In Superflex, I like to get my quarterbacks and worry about the rest later. And I'd gone quarterback pretty heavy in this draft. I think I had six quarterbacks overall, four quarterbacks who would be starting if the NFL season kicked off today. And so he's come to me. He's wanted his quarterback, Joe Burrow. And I was pretty reluctant to trade Joe Burrow. It wasn't somebody I was certainly looking to trade. I asked if he'd include Justin Fields in the deal. Didn't want to trade Justin Fields, but happy to pay a high price. I say, rubbing my hands together. Let's test this high price theory. So I sent him a trade. And look, I'm not using this trade to preach myself as some kind of amazing dynasty manager, okay? This was just blind, dumb luck. So he let me know that Nick Chubb was available. Nick Chubb, who he'd taken before Joe Burrow. And so I sent him a trade of Joe Burrow, Dawson Knox, and a third-round pick for Nick Chubb, a 22 first, a 23 first, and Noah Fant. Now, I want to say, I just want to be clear here, Mr. Hatton, that I set this trade so he would see the high price that I placed on Burrow and just reject the trade and move on with his life, or counter with something more reasonable, you know? And he came to me. He wasn't sending me a trade. He's asking me to do the work, right? So, you know, I submitted something that I thought would get rejected. Anyway, wake up the next morning, trade accepted. Ding, ding, ding.
Happy days.
Happy days. So I was pretty shocked, to say the least.
So I think the main difference between those two leagues, look, this trade might have actually been worse than the other trade, really, in terms of value, possibly. But the thing was, you know, he was out there. Riley was out there in the group chat. You know, I think he came to me and said, "I'm happy to overpay for a quarterback." You know, so that opportunity was there for any owner to make a move on that trade. And you know, you did the right thing. I sort of looked at my quarterbacks, and like you, I didn't really feel like moving anyone. I had Hurts, Lance, Tua, and Teddy B just as a late round dart throw. So probably three really quarterbacks. And you know, I don't want to have two quarterbacks in Superflex. I really want to stack those QBs. I think I was thinking of going quarterback extreme in this league, but I didn't. Just got the three. So look, I think that makes sense. You know, it's a good trade. I could have made that offer. Anyone could have made that offer. And you know, Riley, I think, was sort of playing a little bit of chess that he had a move up his sleeve. If he could get Burrow, he could swing it for Murray. So you know, he was thinking of bigger and better things, and he got his boy Murray, which he's pretty happy with. But yeah, definitely, it's nice work from yourself.
Yeah, well, look, it wasn't really work; it was just blind luck. I hate people who, look, I don't want to say I hate people. I don't hate anybody, but people who go on Twitter and say, "Look at my trade that I made! I'm such a genius." You're not a genius. You just threw a trade out there and someone accepted it. You know, that doesn't make you a genius. And I think that the trade from Burrow to Kyler was a lot more reasonable. I'd go to say as far as he probably won that trade on value, just based off things like Dynasty Trade Calculator and where Kyler's rated compared to Burrow. For me, again, Burrow wasn't somebody I was looking to trade. And like you said, everybody in the league knew that he was trying to get a quarterback, and he was telling people, which is just silly, right, that you don't pay.
Yeah, yep. Yeah, exactly. You know, you always want to try and keep your cards a little bit to your chest, and you know, as soon as you ask someone for trade, you're a little bit, you know, you got to pay a little bit overs anyway because you're the one seeking a trade, right? Yeah.
And look, my advice to people is they say never be the first one to offer something in a negotiation. If someone comes to me and they're like, "What do you want for this player? You know, what trade? Send me a trade so I can get the player on your team." If you're not going to put in the work to craft a deal with me, that first thing I send out is probably going to be something a bit ridiculous.
Yep.
You know, I'm somebody when people who...
Okay.
Sorry, Matt, you go.
So when people ask that, what they really mean is, you know, what's your lowest price that you'll take for this player? That's what they really want to know, you know. How much can I get away with not giving you?
Yeah, they're asking you, most people, not rightly, obviously, but most people are asking that so that they want to make sure they don't overpay. If I'm after a player, and I think Matt knows this about me, I'll make the offer. I'll at least make that initial offer if I'm trying to get a player off somebody's team. And I mean, right after that trade, I looked at my team and the timeline my team was on, and I took Nick Chubb and I traded him straight up for CeeDee Lamb, who was picked in the third round of that draft, two rounds after Chubb. And I think, look, I don't think normally that Chubb would go in round one, especially in a PPR league. Probably more, I'd say a mid-second. Wouldn't you, in a startup, Superflex startup, PPR?
I think so. As long as Kareem Hunt's there, he's not going in the first round in most leagues.
So even if you say he's a mid-second, I think a lot of people would still value Nick Chubb over CeeDee Lamb. And I just sent that one for one, straight up, wasn't trying to get, you know, anything else. I don't think I would have got anything else out of Uria if I tried to add to that trade. So I think it's a lesson Riley will learn really quickly, that if you have the attitude of, "I've got to get my guy no matter what," sometimes it can come back to bite you. And I wasn't even considering that. I wasn't even going to consider anything at all. I thought, but I looked at his roster, and no offense, Riley, I didn't think that the roster was too fantastic. And I thought, if I get one or two of a big ticket piece in this trade with a first round pick or two first round picks, there's a chance they're going to be very, very high in the future. So play the cards that way, and he had accept, and history is history.
Well, it's a shallow start. I think we're going to start 10, right?
That's high for most leagues, mate. I think it's 10 for a lot of leagues, but most leagues start like 8.
Do they? Yeah. I need to play in some of these start 8 leagues. I'm looking at our Matrix League where you've got to start 12. That's a bit of a pain in the backside, that start 12. But, you know, he's only got to start 10 if he is lucky with a few injuries. You know, Kyler Murray balls out. You know, he could win the league. You know, he could. But, you know, probably not.
Outside of Calvin Ridley and David Montgomery, after his quarterbacks, there's not really much there. How did you feel about your Down Under team after it was done?
Yeah, pretty good. I'm pretty happy with it. You know, I sort of ignored running back until late. So wide receivers, AJ Brown, Godwin, Deontay Johnson, who I'm pretty high on, Elijah Moore, who I think's underrated, Rondell Moore, Parker, Reynolds, Jeremy Brown, Jalen Reagor, and Kadarius Toney. Pretty much ignored tight end. I've got Cook, Tebow, and Uzama from the Bengals. I probably just murdered his pronunciation. It's just a small tight end bonus. It's not massive. So just the way it fell, you know, I didn't want to overpay for a tight end, so they just kept getting pinched before me, so I kept pumping those wide receivers. Pretty happy with the quarterbacks, Hurts, Lance, and Tua. I think Tua's in for a big year. I do know someone in the league that sort of loves Tua, so I might try and get an overpay for him. Yeah, running backs, I've got, you know, Mostert, David Johnson, Sanders, and Trey Sermon. So I didn't really invest too much in running backs, but I was happy to take that approach. I think you've only got to start one running back, right, I think, in this league.
You only have to start one at everything. So yeah. you could start up to two quarterbacks, so it's super flex, but and then, you know, you've got to start one running back, one wide receiver, one tight end, and then the rest is whatever you want.
Which is the best way to do. I think Vonnegut might be the same. I've got a couple of leagues like that, where it's just, you know, you build a team.
Is like that. Most leagues are like that we're in. Yeah. Quite a few. We're kind of biased towards those kind of things.
Pretty happy with the team, but I don't think I'm a shot really of winning year one. There's a couple of moves that were made. I think your eyes looking pretty good with that Nick Chubb trade. And yeah, it's a couple of, you know, sort of more win now teams that sort of slept on quarterbacks a little bit and got win now players, which is, you know, probably a good approach. There's everyone in Dynasty is so ageist, right, that, you know, I think in this startup, Devonta Adams went really late, Derrick Henry went late, as they should. But, you know, if you wanted to build a full win now team, you could pick up a bunch of studs, win it in the first year, and they, you know, tank it for a couple of years after that, you'd be fine.
Well, that's pretty much what Willie did. Yeah, that's what I call him that. That's pretty much what Billy did. Billy drafted a very, very win now team.
I think he took Brady a little bit early, but you know, he's going to be a QB1, isn't he, for at least this year?
And I mean, I drafted six quarterbacks: Lawrence, Burrow, Cam Newton, Zach Wilson, Jordan Love, Davis Mills, Kyle Trask. So I've dealt Burrow, and now that I've dealt Burrow, quarterback's not like, you know, I was pretty good bet before to have at least two starts, right? And now, really, I've only got Lawrence and Wilson long term, who, you know, they're definitely going to start long term. But who knows? I mean, if Lawrence doesn't pan out, it would be shocking. But a lot of people are low on Zach Wilson, especially considering that he's draft capital and that it seems most NFL teams had him as the lock stock number two. But, you know, quarterback is a bigger question for me now than it was before that Burrow trade. So hopefully I get at least three bodies and it shakes out okay for me. But remains to be seen now for sure.
You can always flip a second for a Roethlisberger, you know, or someone similar, a veteran.
Yeah, look, I don't really think I've got the horses to compete year one, but we'll see. It wasn't what I was trying to do going into the startup. I wasn't trying to win the year one. I'll set my best lineup every week, and if I do, I'm competing, fantastic. But honestly, it wasn't the approach that I was taking. And after trying, you know, both ways, to me, year one's always the hardest year to win in the Dynasty League because on paper, after the draft, most teams are looking pretty solid. So it's generally the hardest year to win. I was more thinking about the future, and with four draft picks over the next 2 years, four firsts, it's looking pretty rosy, mate.
Spencer Rattler, here you come. Your QBs look a little bit better. Nice. So, yeah, just on that, I think there was someone put out on Twitter that, you know, you're a bit of a douche if you send bad trades, you know. But, you know, I think that's – and I think I replied to the guy and said, look, that's bad dynasty advice because, you know, if you're handing someone and you're trying to talk them into it and whatnot and you're, you know, screenshotting calculators, you know, then fair enough. But if you're just putting, you know, one-sided offers out there, yeah, like you said, if you're not doing it, sometimes someone else is going to accept it. So it's always good to have a bit of a fish around. But obviously, you know, like I'm not going to send you a one-sided offer because I know you know your stuff. So it's a little bit different. Depends who you deal with. If you've got someone who really has got their eyes focused on, you know, a bit of rookie fever or something, or maybe they think that, you know, the Trey Lance is, you know, the next Patrick Mahomes, you can take advantage of that. So, yeah, sometimes I think it pays a bit to put a one-sided trade out. I think you're on mute too, Benny.
Sorry, mate. Yeah, for sure. There's nothing wrong with just throwing out, you know, a trade offer just to get the conversation started. Like, I think most people would say that most of the trades you get, you're rejecting, right? Probably 90%. Would that be fair?
99% of your trades.
Oh, mate, that's tough.
Probably 90%. Something like that. They're mostly pretty ordinary trades, really. And I've probably given plenty myself over the years. I've probably given some pretty dodgy trades too. I'd like to see what my percentage of accept is. It's probably lower than that. I'm no trade expert at all, but, you know, yeah, probably about 90% would be right.
Have you made any trades recently?
Yeah, I did in a Devi League, Clash of the Comics. I had Kyler Murray. And I like Kyler. I think he's in for a little bit of a regression. Still going to be a QB1. And, you know, it was pretty stacked side. It was, I think, six teams went into dispersal. So I was one of six. And the top team is absolutely stacked. Mr. Sheps is sort of won, I think, two titles in a row, or maybe three titles in a row, and he's stacked all over the park. So I just went sort of super youth and picked up as many Devi picks as I could, as many young players as I could, and quarterbacks and wide receivers, and just dodged the running backs. And then in line with that, I wanted to get more value. So I thought, you know, sell Kyler Murray. I was really trying to get Trey Lance because I thought after listening to Matt Warburton that Trey Lance was going to go to the Niners, but I couldn't get that deal done. I think I wanted Lance and CD, and Sheps is pretty big on CD. And then after the Niners trade, I was never getting Lance off him. So I traded Kyler Murray and George Pickens for Rondale Moore and Trevor Lawrence. So, yeah, probably.
You must be very high on Moore.
Look, I probably did give a little bit more away than I wanted to. But I think Moore's a sneaky value. I think I can flip him for a little bit more. And, look, I'm hoping that no one listens to this podcast in that league because I'm just waiting for Lawrence to ball out. You know, someone's going to get fever and I'll flip him too. I think, you know, Murray's sort of at his ceiling. I mean, it could be completely wrong, right? But I think his price is pretty maxed out no matter what he does. Whereas, you know, Trevor Lawrence, you know, if he has a couple of, you know, has an easy draw and has a couple of 30-point games, you know, someone, I could get a Riley in the league and pull off a trade with,
So nothing to do with the fact that ESPN brought out that article about, you know, maybe the book's been written on Kyler Murray and he gave the secret of how to stop him on that Hail Mary play last year.
I haven't actually seen that. No, I haven't seen that article. But look, I guess it's just you know, teams do tend to work out these younger quarterbacks and they seem to have a year of aggression. I think Lamar had it, and I think Lamar's, you know, probably a sneaky buy candidate now. And I think Herbert's going to regress a little bit. And it's just purely because there's such a strong team at the top there of that league that I was really no chance of, you know, doing anything with Kyler for 3 or 4 years. So I just wanted to get, you know, a bit more youth on my side and a bit of value while I could. But yeah, so what was that article saying? Pretty much that someone had done the Bill Belichick on Kyler and worked him out or something. Well, I can't see that happening, but I just think he's in for a bit of regression just because he's been so great. And you know, these defensive coordinators, they do, once they get a bit of tape on you in a couple of off seasons, they take away what you like to do. So, you know, he's still going to boy. He's still going to be a QB1. And, you know, he's just a winner. He's brilliant. But I think he might just come back a little bit to the pack like Lamardi. Lamar's still buying now. You know, people sort of hating him a little bit, but, you know, I'd be still trying to buy him wherever I can now. I think Sammy Watkins, Bateman, and, you know, he's going to have a big year this year. But, yeah, that's pretty much the reason why I just think he's going to regress a little bit.
Fair enough. I mean, that was happening towards the end of the year, though he was injured. I mean, the rest to be seen. He's, you know, his height is going to be something that he has to adjust to throughout his career. I mean, not adjust to, but play with. He's always been short, obviously. So Drew Brees adapted. We'll see if Kyler.
He's still a QB1, right? Like, I'm not saying he's going to be QB15 or something. I'm talking about, you know, what was he last year, QB6 or something? So he's probably going to be like QB10, you know, QB11.
He was like QB2 or QB3 last year, mate.
Was he? Yeah, well, there you go. Yeah. So maybe he finishes QB6, QB7 is the point. You know, he's not going to fall off the face of the earth. You know, he's going to be around for a long time. He's going to be league winner. He's going to probably win, you know, multiple titles, maybe not Super Bowl, but titles with that team. You know, he's an out-and-out winner, but just for that time and place in that league, thought it was time to move on.
Yeah, look, Lawrence has a very, very safe floor. One trade I made and in the last week, this was in a 14-team Superflex, and this was with Tyler Gunthema from the Dynasty Happy Hour podcast in the Dynasty Happy Hour Listener League. And so I gave up Chris Godwin, Davis Mills, JD McKissick, and a 2022 round 3 draft pick. I got back Tua Tagovailoa.
So just repeat that trade again. What did you?
I gave up Davis Mills, JT McKissick, and this is the big piece, Chris Godwin, and a 22 third for Tua. 14-team Superflex.
Yeah, I think I want Tua there. Yeah, it's pretty even trade, I guess. Godwin's a young stud, but he didn't have that massive year again, did he, with Brady? Like, he regressed a little bit. Still bought out, but he wasn't by no means what he was the year before. And I know you're pretty big on Tua, so am I, with the weapons he's got on him. So I probably would want Tua there, but it's pretty even trade, I think. Worked out for both sides.
He does have Tyrod, so now he's probably, you know, with the Sean Watson news, he's probably guaranteed a starter there, despite having given up Tua by getting Mills back. And I know Tyler's very big on Chris Godwin. Another trade that I made this week, and this is in a Devy league. I gave up the Devy 1.09 this year, 3.05 this year, a 22 round one Devy, a 22 round two Devy, and a 23 round one Devy. So that's three firsts, a second, and a third, all Devys. I got back Carson Wentz and DeAndre Swift.
I did see that one. Yeah, I think that's a smash accept. I did see that. I think that's probably, you know, even if it's not a Devy league, that's probably a pretty decent trade. I did see that, and then I offered the owner a trade too. I think not quite the same as that, but I gave him a Devy second, like a late Devy second, late Devy third for Cooks and Mike Davis.
So you gave out the 2.10, the 3.10 this year, and 3.0 next year. Then you got back Mike Davis and Brandon Cooks.
Yeah, so 2.10, 3.10, and a third for Cooks and Davis. You know, I don't mind Cooks. But, yeah, look, you know, back to your trade. Your trade was a lot bigger. I think that's just a smash accept. But as soon as I saw that owner was buying Devy picks, I just offered him my Devy picks. I think he's a Godwin owner, and I was thinking of going after Godwin. I did offer him a Jefferson trade, but the price was astronomical, which is fair enough, you know, as it should be. I was thinking of chucking in my first and something else for Godwin, but yeah, just that sort of down year with Brady, I held back a little bit.
I don't know. Man. I think Godwin's going to ball out. I think even if he doesn't have the biggest year next year, this coming season, next year the Bucs are going to lose somebody. They're not going to be rolling back Brown, Godwin, and Evans in the 22 season. Maybe that's thinking too long term. I don't know. But I don't think that's going to happen.
I think if Brown had to come back, I probably would have made an offer. Look, he might not even sell him. But just the fact that, you know, Brady's got to stop balling out sooner or later, surely. You know, this might be his last year in that system. Up to him, I guess. Who knows? But with all three of them back, it's a crowded side, and they're probably not going to be trailing in too many games. So, yeah, that remains to be seen. But, yeah, I think your trade was a great trade. That's a special accept every day for me, and I think the owner is looking to rebuild. So,
yeah, and look, I play in multiple leagues with this owner. He commissions this league and several other leagues, and he's very, very clearly he's a very good, very good player. So he's definitely got a plan there, and I guess that plan revolves around picks. But, yeah. but I think it's his first Devy League, and he might not be quite clued in yet to the value of Devy first round picks versus proper rookie first round picks in leagues where it's not Devy depleted. Would that be fair?
Look, yeah, I think I picked up a trade in this league last year. I got Singletary for a second, and it's a Devy second. So look, there is value in those Devy seconds, right? But it's going to be a little while. You're looking at probably a 23 stud, maybe.
And the Devys are capped in this league. I think they're capped at 24 at any one time.
Yeah, look, I do love that in Devy leagues. The Clash of the Comics one where I traded with Sheps, that's unlimited. I think we had 86 Devys go prior to the draft, which that's like I've never played in the league where it's uncapped like that, which is fine, just a little bit different than what I've played in. But I do prefer it to be capped because you're getting a little bit of value there. I think Trey Lance and Mac Jones were not taking on this league, right? Or is that might be I think that's a bit fairy Devy league, but they're both similar. They're both capped, and you'll get a bit of value in each draft then rather than just fighting over scraps.
Yeah, I think it's a lot more strategic as well when you're at a cap. Whether it's whether you do an initial 48, have 48 Devys, because you're never having all 48 go into the NFL in the same time, right? Or you cap it like this 24. I like the strategy that it adds. I didn't like it at first because my first one was that it was uncapped, my first Devy league. But I think this adds a lot more nuance and a lot more strategy.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
So I'm doing something at the moment that I haven't done in a long, long time. I'm in a one quarterback rookie draft. And let me tell you, sir, it is horrible. So last season, joined the league, Lewis Glover set it up, FF Down Under, Rookie Fever League. One of the leagues, I'm sure you've heard of the concept, where one team doesn't take part in the startup, but they get the all first round of rookie picks.
I actually haven't heard of that. I think I've played in just about every format bar that one. So everyone else drafts and they get the whole first round of whatever rookies they want.
That's correct. They get the whole first round of rookies. So 101 to 112. And obviously the rookies are not in the startup.
Yep.
So Lewis set this up and obviously he took the rookie team. He's loaded with the rookies, but moving forward, it's a one quarterback league.
Yeah. I like that in Superflex. I reckon that would have been good last year or this year in Superflex. One QB to be a little bit harder, I reckon. But
the thing is, if this was Superflex, the accumulated value he'd have from last year would be insane.
Yeah.
But it's not Superflex, but it's one quarterback. And it's horrible. The draft was like I'm on the board at 2.07, and there's just nothing.
There's nothing. There's nothing in two QB at 2.7 once. Once Carter goes and Marshall and Moore go, that's it's looking pretty ordinary. You might get a Freemuth or something, but one QB would be tough.
In the late second, early third, David Mills, Kellen Mond, they feel like nice little flyers, right? They got a little bit of excitement, a little bit of potential. It's just nothing.
Yeah.
Makes me sad.
I don't think I play in any one QBs. I was in a one QB IDP league. It was a free one last year with a couple of guys from the UK, which I won, but it was just, it was 14 teams, so quarterbacks were a little bit, a little bit scarce, but it's one QB. So, I don't play in any one QB leagues. If you do, all power to you, whatever flex you pay, I'm not judging them, but I just don't. They're all super flex for whatever reason. And I think it's a great challenge. It's sort of, you get a lot more strategy.
There's a lot more strategy. There's a lot more tradable pieces. And some people might think that it overvalues the quarterback, but really, does it overvalue them any more than what they are in the real NFL? I'd say no.
And people can win with, Brady and Roethlisberger just by ignoring quarterbacks too. So that's another sort of tangent you can go off in these super flexes.
Yeah, that option is always there.
I think just quietly, I did mention it pre-show, but just I was looking at Mr. Scott T, what he did in Vinyl Worthy. In the auction startup, which is a little bit sneaky, but he pretty much ignored quarterback there and just spent his dollars on position players, which I thought it's not a bad year to do that. Everyone's so quarterback crazy. I think I only had like 250. I spent my entire budget on a quarterback. But Scott ended up with Najee, Bateman, Nico Collins, Elijah Moore, Chuba Hubbard, Pat Freiermuth, and Ellinger and a couple of Nuffs. So yeah, just, you know, I think that's pretty not a bad little sneaky strategy. It is a 12 team super flex. I don't know what his other starting QBs are. Might just have a quick pick now, but yeah, I did like that approach. Just he's got Hurts, Garoppolo, and Cousins, so he's okay. They're not studs, but he's okay. So yeah, I think so. That was nice. I'm trying that.
Him and Lloyd, he really just dominated that draft. It was the Lloyd and Scott show.
I think I renamed the draft the Lloyd Invitational just because he had, you know, $1,500 worth of rookie picks, and the next had 500.
He really cleaned up, though. I reckon he did a really good job there, our buddy Lloyd.
He did all right. Yep, going pretty well. He's not a threat this year, but he's pretty much got the next two drafts to himself again. So yeah, good luck.
Pushing it forward.
Why finish in the middle? You know, you might as well just go all in and rebuild, which he's definitely done.
So, were there any other topics that you wanted to touch on tonight? Any itches you want to scratch? Anything on your mind at all?
No, not really. I think I've pretty much covered everything I've got to say. I'm on the clock in the IDP league in the third round, so I'm probably looking to grab someone there. Trying to ignore the itch of not doing another startup, but I think there's one in the happening.
Happening?
Yeah, happening. Look, yeah, I think that's it. I'm trying to avoid doing another startup, but I think it's just a matter of time before it starts happening. You know, we're getting a bit of a lull. I think we've got Kraken this weekend and then maybe one or two other drafts and then a long off season. So, yeah.
You just started the Sac Mania League. That's not going to get you through?
It hasn't started yet, so I don't even know if that's going to go ahead or whatnot.
This is a different startup that you're in now.
Yeah, it's a different one. Yeah, it's one Benny Campbell's done. I won the first. She's my first IDP, and I won it. Dominated that league, by the way. I did win with my first IDP. It's just a 10 team. You got to start two QBs. So I won that. That was pretty good. I think second year I didn't win. I was made the finals, but didn't win. Traded my second and third last year for first this year, which turned out to be Chase, which I was pretty happy with. So yeah, just trying to avoid those startups. But I mentioned 412. What about yourself, mate? Is there anything else you want to talk about? Or
look, from a draft perspective, I'm almost done, except for Brandon's leagues. I don't think I really have many picks now. In regards to startups, maybe I'll do one more. Maybe I'll do Sac Mania if an invite comes my way. I keep toing and froing, mate. I keep toing and froing because, I mean, you enjoy the startups, but in season, it's a lot of leagues.
It is when you got to submit lineups. You know, I think if you get a best ball, that's where you can trade in. I think that's the way to go because you don't have to worry about, you know, waivers. You don't have to worry about trades. It's just
I'm not as active in my best ball leagues though, and I think you'll find that you're not because you think in best ball, you don't necessarily need to make sure that you improve. You know, you're constantly improving your starting lineup because. You might think, oh, there's some guys on my bench. Surely, you know, one of these flies on my bench will go off and I'll get the points. And so because you're not constantly looking at just accumulating an edge here and there in your starting lineup, you can forget about it a little bit. Like we joined that Fog of War this year. How many trades have you put out in Fog of War?
Yeah, not many at all. But I almost forgot about the startup. I think it's on Voxer, which is the worst league chat ever designed by man. I'd rather paper and pad in the mail than Voxer. So I sort of missed I almost missed the startup, but I did all right. Not the startup, but the rookie startup. But yeah, I haven't paid much attention other than I know Mr. Bosch is pretty full on with the getting your roster right. And he says if you're over the 35 roster, he's going to take all your players, put them in a randomizer and then cut down players to make you fit the size. So that was pretty much just getting under that 35 player cap was it. But yeah, I've forgotten about it, mate. I've just haven't done much.
I saw that and I thought, that's interesting. The thing is, if you did that in a standard 12-team league, right, and you ended up with a couple of studs on the waiver wire, whoever gets them is at a massive advantage. So, it might be all right in a league like that with 70-odd teams because the impact of those one or two guys who are good players who got cut and picked up wouldn't be as big. But in a smaller league, I think it might blow up the league. Don't you?
All right. You can imagine the amount of whinging you get from it. I think, if it's the rules black and white, you know, go for it. Why not do it? I think in this league, there's no more waivers, right, after the roster writing date, that's it. There's no more waivers for the year. So they would just sit there for the rest of the year. So there's that. But, yeah, you could kill a – I mean, it was one thing getting James Robinson, but imagine if it was picking up a Barkley or a CMC that happened to be, you know, cut. Yeah, you'd definitely hear about it.
I'm going to go on one little rant before we finish here. Right. Why does everybody hate Jordan Love so much? What did Jordan Love do besides get drafted by the Packers and sit on the bench for a year behind the league MVP? I'm on the record, and I'll say this. I much prefer Jordan Love than Mac Jones, and I do not understand the Jordan Love hate at all. Matt, can you please take me through the Jordan Love hate and get it through my thick brain?
I wish I could. I hate it when two hosts agree on a podcast. You know, I always want to bit of disagreement, bit of banter, but yeah, look, I'm with you. I think in console wars, right, that the 36 team league we were both in, someone shopping Jordan Love there, and another owner's like, oh, if you get a first for Jordan Love, you're the best salesman in the world. If, to me, a first is, you know, as long as it's not the 101. If you're a decent side and you're given a future first for Jordan Love, why wouldn't you do that? You know, like, I think he's in a great opportunity to succeed. I think, you know, they're pretty much a stacked side. He's had the whole year to sit there and learn, and you know, you're drafting for his upside. You're not drafting out of fear if you're chucking the future first at him. You know, like I said, if it was at a real ordinary side and you're giving away a guarantee 101, then maybe not. But even next year, it's not a great quarterback class. So, you know, I think he's a sneaky boy. I think I tried to offer the owner a couple of little trades for him, but couldn't get it done. But yeah.
At some point, he's going to be some team starting quarterback. And if you don't believe in him at that point, you'll be able to recoup that investment of a future first. You'll be able to get a first back again. And if he's the starter, maybe a first and a little bit more once he's actually named the starter and yeah, this is Jordan Love, he's our starting quarterback. Whether you believe or not, at some point, you'll be able to get a return on that investment. I don't think it's a losing bid unless you're a garbage team and you end up giving up a top four pick.
Yeah, which in, you know, in that case, you've got holes every team. I wouldn't do it. You know, you other options. But you know, if you're a decent side and you're a quarterback short, why wouldn't you have a shot at it? I mean, they traded up to get him. You know, they've just peed off their MVP to get him as well. Yeah, so it's
if you're a good, yeah. If you're a good team in a super flex league, it can be hard to get a young quarterback. It's probably you're not going to be in an opportunity to draft one unless you get like a. Occasionally you get a Mac Jones who falls, who you've seen fall to the end. But I look at Jordan Love's physical tools. I look at Mac Jones's physical tools. And I much prefer Jordan Love. I just think his upside is so much higher than Mac Jones. I don't understand at all. Do you actually prefer Love to Jones like I do? Or you just don't – the love-hate is not justified?
No. I like them both. I think just with Jones, the question is his receivers, right, short-term – what he's going to do, but you're not going to get Jones. You're not going to get Mac Jones now. I think for a future first, which QB can you get for a future first that's potentially starting? Even last year, I think a good mate of ours, Mark Bull, offered up a first in Vonnie Worthy for Tom Brady, and he got knocked back. So you know, these starting QBs, they're not always easy to get. And if you're just giving one single first for someone who's you know got that potential to sling it, and you know, might have a few dodgy games in him, but it's that potential that you're trading for. And like you say, you know, once he is named, you can always flip it, especially in a league like console wars where you got 36 owners to flip him to. You know, I think that's a no-brainer.
Dripping with upside. So before we depart, we've just got to let you know that today's episode of T2C Down Under Dynasty was brought to you by Primetime Sports Talk, your top source for all major sports content, including DFS, fantasy advice, and great gambling tips. Be sure to head to primetimesportstalk.com to check out their in-depth analysis, exclusive articles, fascinating interviews, and explore the rest of their amazing podcast family. Again, primetimesportstalk.com, your go-to sports content. And some news that we've got to give, I'm sure if you're listening to us, you're a big Toilet to Tiles fan, so you know, we've started a Patreon. So it's the pinned tweet on the Toilet to Tiles handle, right? That'll give you all the details. Go have a look at the levels, see if there's something that interests you. And if there is, sign up, and we are at your beck and call. And just a reminder, you can find us on Apple Podcasts, YouTube, Facebook, Podbean, When a Family Breaks on Facebook page, and, of course, Spotify. And please, give us a five-star review. We deserve it. We're here. It's Monday night in the future, okay? And we're giving you Dynasty goodness. At least we think it's Dynasty goodness. It's a totally unbiased opinion. Anyway, look, that was all that we had to say tonight. We'll be back next week or maybe towards the end of this week. We're still trying to find a rhythm in our schedule. We're going to get there. And it's just going to be onwards and upwards for T2T Down Under Dynasty. So thank you for listening. I'd say thank you for watching, but I don't think anybody was. And everybody have a great night and have a fantastic week.
See you guys.